everybody. My name is Pastor Amanda, one of the pastors here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. I'm so excited that you found us online and decided to worship with us today. We are a church trying to live out God's call on our lives to share God's love and grow in faith and serve our neighbors. And if you're looking for people like that, I invite you to stick around and hang out with us. Whether you celebrated Easter here with us in person or online or somewhere else, we do hope you had a wonderful Easter and got to experience the power of the resurrection in big and small ways in the last week. During Lent, those weeks leading up to Easter, we were focusing on the last days of Jesus as he made his way to the cross and through that experience to Resurrection Sunday. And now on this side of Easter, we're going to talk about the next day and the days that followed. We're going to talk about what comes after Easter. The next day and the days that follow, and what does that have to do with us all of these years after the resurrection? During Lent, we were reading in the Gospel of Luke, and today our reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to start in chapter 28, that's the very last chapter, and we're going to start in verses 16 to 20, those last verses of Matthew's Gospel. So let me read to you about what some of the next days for Jesus and his followers included. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." These verses is parts of scripture. It's what we call the Great Commission. It is Jesus commissioning, sending out his disciples to be on mission for God in the world. Jesus' mission for them is to tell people about him, to teach everything he taught them, to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus gives this promise that wherever you go, he will go with you. There are four books in the Bible that give an account of the life of Jesus, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each gives a slightly different description of the resurrection and what comes next. And one commentator, one biblical scholar says, it's okay that there are differences. We don't need to make them all the same. Each gives us something new, a new insight to think about as we think about Jesus' resurrection. In Matthew's Gospel, it is the women that go to the tomb early in the morning and they find it empty. And an angel of the Lord is there that tells them that Jesus has been raised and sends them to Galilee to meet him. And on the way to tell the disciples, Jesus appears to the women himself, and right away the women worship him. Jesus gives them the same message the angel of the Lord gave them. Go, tell the disciples that I'm alive, that I've been raised, and I will meet you in Galilee. So our reading for today takes place in Galilee, where Jesus told the disciples to meet him. It says they met on a mountain, and it's supposed to remind us of the other important times God's people have met in God's presence on mountains, like the famous Sermon on the Mount with Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, or even Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. God's people have often found God's presence on the mountaintop. It says that they saw him and worshiped him, but some doubted. One of the things that sets Matthew's Gospel apart is that the disciples turn and worship right away. First the women, and then this group of disciples on the mountain, while other Gospels account fear and disbelief and confusion and running away to hide, Matthew's Gospel describes a quick recognition of who Jesus is, that he is who he says he is. He is the Son of Man, the Son of God, who was to die and be crucified and 3 days later raised to life. They know this. They remember this. They acknowledge this right away. And yet, still some in the group doubted. And that's important for us to hear, that even those with a first-hand encounter of the risen Jesus were a mix of faith and doubt. So it's important to remember that what comes next is not instructions for the most A-plus honor roll member followers of Jesus, but a mixed bag of wavering, well-meaning people like you and me. Jesus tells them that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And he wants to extend, he wants to share that authority with them. The Great Commission is Jesus' last instructions to the disciples in Matthew's gospel. His gospel ends with the Great Commission. He tells them to go, make disciples of all nations. He sends them out to the whole world. The resurrection, it broke down the dividing walls between God and people. And Jesus wanted everyone to be invited into this new, inclusive, universal community for all people. Whatever used to keep them outside of the community of faith, it's been redeemed, it's been rebuilt, it's been restored. Everyone has a place in God's family now. And it was the disciples' job to get that message out. And it worked. We're still talking about Jesus. We are still talking about Jesus who lived and died and rose again, and how encounters with that risen Jesus change us. We are still telling the story. We're all here today because people keep telling the story. Another thing that makes Matthew's telling of the resurrection different is that the disciples come to believe in Jesus, not through a firsthand encounter, but through a testimony of it. Yes, the women, they have a firsthand encounter with the risen Jesus. He meets them on the way to Galilee, but the disciples, Peter and John, these guys that have been with Jesus since the beginning, they find out that Jesus has been raised to life from a story, a testimony. And that testimony of an experience with God was enough for them to believe in what God was doing. Our stories with God matter. And we all have stories that led us to where we are today. And when we tell our stories of experiences with God, we get to live out this great commission of telling the whole world about Jesus. This got me thinking about what kind of Great Commission stories we have in our own church. What are the stories that sit in our pews and gather around our coffee hour tables? I wonder, what are the stories of our people? And so I reached out a little, you know, hesitantly to two groups of people, a small group of men and a small group of women, and asked them, how did you come to faith? Why do you believe in God? And why are you here? Why do you want to be part of the church? And the groups of men and women, they were different ages and stages. They've been at our church for different lengths of time. And I really didn't know what to expect when I shared this email. But I was so humbled and so grateful as the stories came back to me, as people responded to this question about how they came to faith and how they came to Parkridge Presbyterian Church. And so I want to share some of those stories with you. So one member talked about his mother being how he came to faith, that he always knew his mother to be a devout believer, coming to faith in her own teenage years, and then really teaching and imparting that on her own children. And so he gives his mother credit for bringing him to faith. And he also talks about how music is this special way that he experiences God's presence and connects with God, and knows that he's seen his mother do that too in times of worship and praise in church. Another member talked about being raised in a family that was always at church, like multiple times a week, always at church, and talked about how the church ladies in particular helped her experience that really welcoming love of God. I can totally relate to feelings like that from church ladies growing up in my own church experience, and I think it's what sets us apart from different kinds of communities, these ways where young people and older people can be in relationship together when they're not family and they aren't necessarily from the same neighborhood or same community, but then they find each other in the pews of a church building. And I think we have some church ladies like that. And so this person talks about, you know, believing that this church is going to raise her kids up with church ladies like that, that want to know her kids, know who they are and what they're interested in and really care about them and their lives. That's one of the ways that we experience God's love. Another member wrote to me about finding God's presence after tragedy and after loss, like losing a parent or a difficult experience being around those 9/11 World Trade Center attacks and struggling with grief and questions about themselves and the church and the world. And this person found themselves in a church and something about what a pastor said spoke to them and kept them connected and comforted them in a dark moment, and they never looked back. Another member wrote to me about similar dark moments, feeling the absence of God, being in times of dark trials like addiction and infertility and looking for love in the wrong places. Psalm 23 describes places like this, like the valley of the shadow of death, where you can't experience God's presence with you. You feel like God is so far away. But then the same person talks about knowing God's presence in such a real way, like so real, like they could touch him. Our stories with God, they're as diverse and complex as we are. And even if our stories don't sound the same, in the act of telling our stories, God is glorified and the gospel is proclaimed. Whether you use scripture or heady theological ideas to explain how you know God, it doesn't matter. The power of the Holy Spirit is at work translating your story into the hearts and minds of those that hear it. In Acts chapter 1, before Jesus leaves to return to heaven, he tells the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth," reinforcing that mission, that commission, that disciples' job is to get the message of God's love all out in the world. We are witnesses of God's redeeming work on the cross and in our lives. We are witnesses of God's restoring work in our relationships and in our communities and in the world. When we tell our kids, our grandkids, our neighbors, our friends, our folks at work about the God that we put our hope in, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through us and help people experience that life-changing love of God. Some people feel like they don't have a story to tell, but I invite you to think about those moments when you have felt God's presence with you. When you felt curious to learn a little bit more about this God that we put our faith in, when you felt comforted and held by a community of faith, those are stories. If you have a story you want to share, we want to hear it. You can email us at office@parkridgepresby.org or leave it in the comments of this episode. If you haven't already, we invite you to subscribe to this YouTube channel. That way you won't miss out on chances to worship with us or moments of testimony from this faith community to know and hear how God is at work in the lives of people right here at Parkridge Presbyterian Church. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for the Easter story, and we give you thanks for what comes next. The church comes next after the Easter story, and we give you thanks for this church, for Parkridge Presbyterian Church, and our chance to be in ministry and offer worship and community and connection online. God, we pray for everybody listening today that they would find themselves in this story and remember that you have given each of us a story. We pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would be with everybody listening today, connecting their hearts to this story of your love. God, we pray this all in your Son's name.